complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each want supply, and no good thing to me deny. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed God, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
We can only be complete through the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him. And that's part of what this message is about today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll get there momentarily. But we're about to enter the most intense week of ministry of service for our church in the entire year. Vacation Bible School affords many opportunities to share the Word of God, to teach its truths, and to teach and present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many young people that will be coming on our church property and going through the opportunity of these classes and the games and the crafts and the refreshments and all that takes place, and we praise the Lord for that. You know that the great majority of the young people that are registered for our Vacation Bible School are kids outside of our church. They don't have a church home, many of them. And parents have said on the registration that they just saw the sign out here as they were traveling by and registered their kids to be here. So we're looking forward to the opportunities that are there. But if we're not careful, we can enter in unprepared and unequipped, not complete in Him, as the song was just sung. We can enter it with an incorrect attitude or incorrect perspective in what we're about to face. So I want to remind you this morning of five ways that we're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to serve God, whether in Vacation Bible School or in any other way that we're to serve Him. Five ways, but I'm going to emphasize one in particular, as you'll see. I've entitled the message today, Staying in Touch. Father, I pray that we would have an understanding of your truth from your word this morning, not just to learn a lesson, not just to learn these facts and these truths, but Lord, may they be applied to us, and may we leave out of here better equipped, both for service this week with the starting tonight with our Vacation Bible School, or whether it is in any other service, any other way that we seek to be in service of you. I pray, Lord, that you would give me your direction, your Spirit's power as I preach. I pray that you would hinder any distractions from taking place from those that are listening, that they would listen carefully to understand. And Lord, I pray that when we leave out of here today, by the responses that we have made, it would be glorifying to you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Five ways that we should be ready to serve. In order to be ready to serve, number one, We must be clean vessels. I've emphasized this every year. I keep doing it because it's so important. And here I won't take much time with it. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have that great passage that deals in verse 19. We'll pick up right there. Nevertheless, the foundations of God stand as sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And what does it say? Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, depart from sin. And then in verse 20, it talks about an illustration there of vessels in a house. And in verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these. All right, the purge means to clean himself. And the way that we are clean spiritually is when we repent of our sins, turn from it, and confess it unto the Lord, that we receive his forgiveness. When a man purges himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Let me stop on that word a minute there. The word sanctified means to be set apart, means to be dedicated to a purpose. And at the end of the service today, the close of the service, I'm going to ask all of our Vacation Bible School workers and helpers to come forward and to stand around the front up here. And we're going to have a dedicatory prayer for them. Because we want to have God set them apart for this particular ministry. We take it very seriously in our service of the Lord, and that's something that we would like to have emphasized. And so these are going to purify themselves. They're going to be pure. They're going to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart unto the Lord there, and meet or fit, profitable there for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we have this emphasis that's given to us. We are to depart from iniquity. We are to purge ourselves from sin so that we can be a vessel that is pure, a vessel that is prepared for the Lord, and a vessel, therefore, that will be profitable unto his use. God has to do a work in us before he will do a work through us. God will not use a vessel that he has not first cleansed. And so it's important for us to recognize that whether we are a director, whether we are a teacher, whether we are helping in a class, whether we're running games or serving refreshments, whether we're serving in the nursery or whatever capacity that we may be serving, that we ought to take it serious and that we ought to be clean for God to use. Don't let sin in your life cause you to be a reason that God holds his hand of blessing away from our Vacation Bible School. Make sure that you're the clean vessel, ready, prepared, so it will be profitable unto the Lord. Secondly, we must serve willingly. You know that no one has to serve in our Vacation Bible School. If you've got the mentality, I guess I have to do it. If I don't do it, I don't know who else would. Well, then you're not what we're looking for. Guess what? It may be hard to believe, but we would make it without you. We have the opportunity to be used of the Lord in serving in our Vacation Bible School. And that's a proper perspective. That's a proper attitude that we ought to have. Paul wrote, in 1 Chronicles 28:9, that's a little before Paul's time, it says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. You know, we ought to have a willing mind, a willing heart when we serve the Lord. It's not I've got to, but I want to. This is what I desire to do for the Lord. We ought to have that. And whatsoever service we do, whether VBS or other, it should be with a willing heart, a willing mind. Thirdly, we must serve humbly. We must serve her humbly. Pride is an invading enemy. Pride can get in the way of a lot of things. We need to realize that, as I said just a moment ago, none of us, no one is irreplaceable. Whether a pastor, a director, whether it's a teacher, a worker, whatever it is, none of us are irreplaceable. Not just with Vacation Bible School, but that's true in the church in any capacity. There's not a Sunday school teacher that's irreplaceable. There's not a deacon that's irreplaceable. There's not a pastor that's irreplaceable. We've seen it even in recent years here. We can say there's not an evangelist that's irreplaceable. We've lost two great ones here just recently. We need to understand that God wants to use us, but none of us should get proud or let pride come into play and think that God can't do it without us. No one is irreplaceable. Everyone is experiencing an honor to be able to serve the Lord. It's our privilege to do so. Here in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul had this mentality. It says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." It wasn't something that he just, you know, God picked me because I'm so good. God picked me because he knew I would do a good job. God picked me, you know. It's our privilege, it's our honor to be used of the Lord, to be allowed by God to be put in trust with the gospel, to be put in trust with the responsibility that he has given us opportunity to do. You remember even the Apostle Paul struggled with pride in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You remember as he talked about his thorn in the flesh, God allowed a messenger of Satan to buffet him to bring about this particular ailment. We believe it may have been something to do with his eyesight. And Paul said the reason that God did that was because of the multitude of revelations that God had used him to bring. In other words, God used him to pen the majority of the New Testament. And Paul said, "Lest I be lifted up because of that. Lest pride come in and look what God has used me to do more than any of the other apostles, more than any of the other..." So that I wouldn't get too big for my britches, Paul said, God allowed this to happen. I asked him on three different occasions to take it away, but he said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you to maintain with this. I did it to be a reminder to serve in humility, to be humble." We must serve humbly in our Lord. And then we must serve wholeheartedly. Colossians 3 and 23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Do it with all your heart. It speaks to the idea that we are to do it with great effort. We're to put ourselves completely into it. And that's exactly how we are to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter, again, whether we're keeping the nursery, whether we're doing games, whether we're in crafts, whether we are teaching, whatever the responsibility is, we are to put ourselves in it completely. We're to put forth great effort. I tell you, I know that I can't imagine it being true, but the person that waits until the last minute and then they show up and think, you know, I want to serve the Lord, but I haven't prepared myself. You know, I'm hoping to do it right now. But guess what happens right now? All kinds of things interrupt and you can't find what you need and because you didn't prepare. But you know that all we do and the most that we can do and the effort that we give is still not enough by itself. which leads us to the point that I want to emphasize this morning. And that is, we must serve powerfully. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we are to serve powerfully. While you're turning there, I want to remind you a couple other passages. In John chapter 15, you remember Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he speaks about that relationship that we have with him. And in verse 5, he makes this statement. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Without me, the vine, the branch can do nothing. If you cut the branch off from the tree trunk, can it survive by itself? No. It's not going to produce fruit. It's going to die. There's no life within it in itself. It must be attached to the vine, to the trunk. And so Jesus says there, without me you can do nothing. In Psalm 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord help us in our vacation Bible school by His power, we labor in vain without Him. It's empty. It's useless. It will not produce eternal values. And so it must be with God's power. So looking then at this idea of serving powerfully, here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we read, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. And I want you to stop right there and understand. Here he's talking about things that we ought to know. And he says that we may know, one, that what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and, get this, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. He demonstrated in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ is everything. But notice, and get this, he says, that you would know something. That you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward that believe. Know his power. His power that was demonstrated by raising Jesus Christ up from the dead. My friend, God in showing us his great power in doing something of that nature surely demonstrates to us that he's got enough power to help us in any endeavor that we face this week with VBS or any other service to come. He's got the power to do it. Our wholehearted service is expected for the Lord, but it is never enough without His power also in it. We're to do our part the best that we possibly can, but we still need to be depending and asking, pleading for God's power in us. Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor out in California there, very good man in his ministry there, and Bible college that he has. He recently spoke of the challenges that Californians have faced in recent years because of the summer power demands and the shortages that they have. And says on hot days, they were asked not to use certain appliances and to cut the thermostats up higher so that the air condition doesn't run and work and draw as much electricity. And if that doesn't work, then they have sometimes what's called brownouts. Electricity is still on, but the voltage is reduced. Or if that doesn't help, they'll go to blackouts in which they don't have any electricity at all. Aren't you glad we have electricity this morning? Air conditioning, lights, and wells that work since we own well water here. But There's a lot that we have to be thankful for with that. We need, in the same way, God's power in our life. Just recently, I went out behind one of our storage buildings. There's a lean-to on it that I keep my lawn cutting equipment up under there. And there's two LED lights that I have, and I turn on the switch, and they didn't come on. Well, I immediately reasoned and I thought, well, it's not very likely that both of these LED lights went bad at the same time. And so I went around and went into the building. I flipped the lights and the lights came on in there. And I thought, well, I got power out to this point. And so then I went and got my electrical testers, and I came out to the switch there and took the cover off, and I put it up. And sure enough, it was saying I had some power coming to the switch. And so I asked Vicki to cut the circuit breaker off, and I began to take the switch apart. Everything looked good at that point, but when I got the switch apart, I found that there was a wire that had come loose from the switch. The switch was not in touch with the power source. Remember the title of this message? Staying in Touch. The switch looked good, but it was not in touch with a power source, and so nothing worked. We can look good. We can show up and be here. But if we're not in touch with God's power, it's not going to work. We labor in vain. It's important that we stay in touch. The Christian life cannot be lived successfully without staying in touch with God's power. Christian service cannot be performed correctly without staying in touch with God's power. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we work, our own strength, our own knowledge, our own wisdom, our own effort, by itself is doomed to failure without God's power. We labor in vain. Thankfully, we do have the power of God's presence in our lives available. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He's right here and indwells every one of us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you got saved, immediately you are baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. The word baptized means to be immersed. And the Holy Spirit immersed us into the body of Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit immersed into us. He dwells within us. And that took place at salvation. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says in Romans that if we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we're not any of His. We're not saved. And so it's important for us to realize we have, if we know the Lord is our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have access to the power of God. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive," what? "Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the othermost parts of the earth." Ye shall receive power. The Holy Spirit is within us. Therefore, it's available, just like the light switch. It's available for us. But we must maintain the connection. Stay in touch with the power. So my question is, what possibly breaks the connection? Immediately, our folks say, what? Sin. Sin is one of the answers. There's two that I want to bring to your attention this morning. Sin is one. If you remember over in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah writes here, he says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." Can we stop right there and apply that to our Vacation Bible School? The Lord His ear is not where he cannot hear our prayers, our desire for people to be saved. His hand is not short, and it's not without power that he could not save people this week. But, is the next word in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So number one is, our power can be disconnected. We can be out of touch with God's power by allowing sin to remain in us, by not dealing with it God's way. We deal with it God's way, as I said earlier, by first turning from it and genuinely confessing it to the Lord. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And so first, because that sin can separate, sin can break the connection, sin can keep us, excuse me, from staying in touch, we need to deal quickly and correctly with any sin that's in our life. You have opportunity for that right now. Don't put it off. Has God brought something to your mind right now that you thought, yep, that's something that the Lord's not pleased with my life? Why not deal with it right now? Why stay in stubbornness and saying, no, I'm going to hold on to that? We've got to relinquish and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. And if I hold on to this, I'm without you. What's it going to be? Deal quickly and correctly with sin. The second part that I believe that can cause us to lose touch with the power source is the lack of attention with the Lord. What do I mean by that? Let me explain it this way. Staying in touch with God through prayer and his word. Prayer is our speaking to God. His word is his speaking to us. It's that what we call devotional time, God and I time, a time in which we get apart and spend with the Lord, time that we pray other than just praying at mealtime or in the troubled time, God help me through this and get me out of this and will you do this for me? I think some Christians treat God like he's some genie in a bottle. That's not the relationship that we're to have with God. He's not only our Savior, he's our Lord. It's a relationship that we're to have with him, that we can speak to him. And he speaks to us through his word. But if we don't get into his word, we are purposely severing the connection. If we don't spend time in prayer, we're severing the connection. It takes that time that we spend with the Lord. We do our part. We're to put our effort in, but we are in need of his power to get his results. So let me ask you, are you hoping for a great vacation Bible school with many decisions for the Lord made? I certainly do. I pray for it. I hope that's your desire. Then we must prepare ourselves to serve God's way. We must serve willingly. We must serve humbly. We must serve as clean vessels. We ought to serve with all of our heart, with all of our effort. But we must serve in the power of his might. We must stay in touch with God's power. You've heard the message. I pray that you have that desire. You've heard God's word as he has indicated to us his will for the way that we're to serve him. My question to you is, how are you going to respond? The song we're going to sing in our invitation, I believe, should be our heart desire. I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Is that your desire this morning? Let's stand together as we go into this invitation time. You respond as God has led your heart, and I pray that that is your desire as we close today. Let's sing it.